great promise is not only for times of memorial services, but also for times of new year, new life. The end of the book, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write these down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Turn to someone next to you and say, "Happy New Year." You guys were not convincing. We're going to have to work on that in just a couple of hours. We ring in the new year. Well, let's think about some new promises. Again, that verse 5. These things are trustworthy and true. Trustworthy and true promises that we can cling to in 2018. And this is a lot of points in this sermon, so I'm going to go real fast. This is 10 new promises to cling to in 2018. The first is this. Number one, God has given us a new teaching. A new teaching. A new teaching. And when we say that it's a new teaching, it's the same teaching that we've heard many, many times over, but it never gets old. The gospel of Jesus Christ never gets old. We can hear this gospel for an eternity. We will hear this gospel for an eternity, and it will never get old. When Jesus showed up on the scene in the beginning of Mark's gospel, it says in Mark 1:27, they were all amazed, so they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." Jesus came along and he preached like nobody had ever preached before. And it wasn't that he wasn't actually changing the things that had been taught. He was fulfilling those things that had been taught. And that seemed new to them. Later on in the book of Acts, the apostle Paul is preaching in the Areopagus, and he's preaching about Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. Jesus and the resurrection. The resurrection. And the people took him and they brought him, saying, "May we know what is this new teaching that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." The new teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ that is old, and we hear it over and over and over, but it never really gets old because it's resurrection. It's new life. This new teaching is what we ought to be listening for and listening to in 2018. New teaching. The second new thing is that we are under a new covenant. The gospel tells us you are under a new covenant, a new promise. You are sealed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He is the one who has accomplished the work. This new covenant is not you have to do this and this and this in order to get right with God. The new covenant is that the work of Jesus Christ is all that we need. The work of Jesus Christ is all that we need. I was stunned by this thought earlier this week, kind of going over this message in my mind, thinking, there's not a single act of my own that I trust for my salvation. There's not one bit of work. I don't think in any way, shape, or form that I would stand before the judgment seat of God and say, "God, I was a pastor. I prayed for your people. I fed them the word." And he would say, "Oh, good job. You're in." He'd probably be like, "But look at all those people that slept through your sermon." Kidding, of course. No, it's not a single bit of our work that gets us right with God. Not one bit. It's 100% the work of Jesus Christ. This is the new covenant. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:25, in the same way he took the cup of after supper, said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." What do we do to receive it? We receive it. That's it. We take the cup, we receive the cup that is His blood, His work, the cross of Jesus Christ accomplished for us, given to us. Hebrews 9:15, He is the mediator of a new covenant so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. Jesus died for you. He died for you. He died for me. The covenant is the covenant of promise that Christ's death is for us, that Christ's resurrection is for us. It is this covenant that we celebrate and mark through the waters of baptism. I was thinking about it this day as we baptized Vanessa. I thought December 31st is probably the most people in our congregation have been baptized on December 31st. So, quick survey. Anybody here baptized on December 31st? Go ahead, raise your hands, take a look. It's a pretty good day. Because we used to do the watch night service and we do a baptism every December 31st. And I can't remember any other single day that we would mark as a day of baptism. So anyway, how many of you actually outside of December 31st even remember the day, know the actual date? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Good. I don't know mine, that's all I know. I lost the certificate in one of the moves or something like that. Either way, December 31st is such a great day to remember this new covenant that Christ has made with you. Third thing, we are made to be a new creation. This new covenant, this new teaching of the gospel, the new covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ makes us into a new creation. In Jesus Christ, we are made totally new. Totally new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You might say, well, I don't feel like a new creation. Because there's a now and a not yet. You are a new creation, but you have not yet completely received the fulfillment of that, the glorification of your body. This has not yet been completely fulfilled, but it assuredly will be fulfilled. If you are in Christ, a new creation, which means you have number four, another promise, you put on a new self. So it's interesting. The Apostle Paul says both these things. You are a new creation, therefore put on your new self and put off the old self. And he says this in such a way that we are to understand it's a perpetual daily battle. Yes, we are a new creation. Yes, we've been given all that we need to win this battle, but we still battle every single day, putting on the new self. Our new self, what is this new self? It's the likeness of God. We are supposed to, as Christians, as those who confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, every single day be seeking to put on the likeness, the character of God Himself, of Jesus Christ. So here's how Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 22 through 24. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This new self means we have new desires, new things that bring us joy, new longings, new passions. And I know that's one of those big things at New Year's. We make those resolutions. And all of us have made resolutions that we have failed at, right? Every single person here has made a resolution that you ended up failing. And the reason why we end up failing in those resolutions is because we want the old things more than we want the new thing. It's that simple. Oh, I resolved to become a vegetarian. You want to eat meat, okay? It's not going to work. It doesn't make sense, right? So what the new self, though, that we're called to here, notice that it's our deceitful desires that call us to the old self. But when we put on the new self and we see what is true, what is pure, what is lovely, what is holy, we desire those things every day, thinking about the right things, choosing the right things. This is the work of the Holy Spirit alive inside of us. The fifth thing, the fifth new promise I want you to grab onto in 2018 is that you are given a new name. You're given a new name. A new name. What does that mean? It means a new identity. Our identity is as one who is fully known, fully cared for, and fully loved by God. Revelation chapter 2 verse 17 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone with a new name written on it. The stone that no one knows except the one who receives it." A new name. At our Christmas party, the church family Christmas party. How many of you came out to the church family Christmas party under the stars? That was indoors, which is great. We played this family feud game, and one of the games was the question that 100 people were surveyed, and they said, "What's the best Christmas present that you can receive?" And I don't remember which answer it was specifically, but one of the answers, I think it was like the fourth or fifth, was a puppy. Now, I put it out there. Did anybody receive a puppy for Christmas? How about a kitten? All right. My daughter would love a puppy. And as long as we continue to rent, we will always choose landlords that reject that possibility. But you get a puppy, and what's the first thing you got to do? You have to name it. You got to give it a name, because that when you put that name upon it, that is the name that says you are the owner. But when you say you're the owner, that doesn't mean that you command that puppy to obey your every whim. I mean, maybe you are really alpha dog you. But it means that you are the one that is responsible for the care of that creature, which is precisely why we are never getting a puppy. Also, there's the mathematics of it. Do you know what the lifetime cost of a dog is? Oh, guess what? That's okay. I do. Between $35,000 and $42,000 lifetime cost. It's over $1,000. It's over $1,200 per year. Plus, that's just for the food. Now, some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. I didn't make it up. The internet told me this, okay? But guess what, though? Guess what? All right. Your $40,000 dog, cats are a little bit cheaper. They're around $26,000. All right? Even better than that. Lifetime cost of a rabbit, $17,000. I can't fathom this. But you guys who are pet owners, you are probably much more cost conscious and you know how to feed your animal. By the way, the report said that animals cost seven times more than you expect. How do you like that? So I said 42,000, you were like, oh no, it's way less than that. Yeah, seven times less is what you thought, huh? All right. What am I talking? This has nothing to do with anything. I just started thinking about pets. The new name Christ gives you, when it says in Revelation 2, he says, "I give you a stone with your name on it." What is he saying? It's not just this, okay, thanks. Like, if you got that in your stocking, a rock with your name, with a name on it that you didn't even know. What is that? I don't get this. Notice there's also this manna. There's the symbolism. God saying that I am your caretaker. I am the one who will fully know you, fully care for you, fully love you. The name that Christ gives you is something like beloved. Beloved. My child. My precious one. Christ gives you a new name. Sixth gospel promise for 2018 is that we are promised a new Jerusalem. We read it earlier in Revelation 21, New Jerusalem. What does this mean? Our new identity gives a new meaning to the old city. This old city of Jerusalem, and there's a lot of conversation in our news, and we're always hearing about Jerusalem, Jerusalem, what does this mean? All of the Bible, when we start to realize that all of the promises that are made about the city of Jerusalem are made about God's people in community, about a church, a heavenly Jerusalem, a community of those who have new names, who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, it gives new meaning, new understanding, new joy. Look at what it says in Revelation 3. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on them a new name. It says in Hebrews 11 that those who are our forefathers in faith, they longed for a new city, not a city here on this earth, but a heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, the city whose foundation, whose builder, whose architect is God himself. And right now, if we went over on a tour to Jerusalem, which I saw an advertisement, I've seen some videos, I've never personally been to Jerusalem, maybe you have. It looks incredible. I would love to go there and see the places, all of this great history. But you know what the city is marked by? There's people all over the place. There's armed guards everywhere. There's men carrying rifles, men, women, there's soldiers everywhere. That can't be what God designed. That's not what the New Jerusalem looks like, a place where there's people, where there's all these different factions, where there's constant threat of terrorism and fear. That's not the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is the people of God brought together as the next promise, one new man. We are made into a new man. Now, earlier we talked about a new self. This isn't talking about a new self. This isn't talking about you being a better you. This is talking about how through the promise of God, even the most hostile enemies are brought together and united in peace. This is the promise. Look at how it's described in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. He himself, Jesus Christ, is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two being Jew and Gentile, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, therefore, thereby killing the hostility. The design, the promise, the purpose of God is that you and I, and us, and those who are far off, and anyone who is our worst, vilest, most evil enemy could be made united. United. Through the one man, the man, Jesus Christ. Through the one sacrifice, the cross, the body of Jesus broken for us. And that's why when we receive communion next Sunday, we're going to have a communion service in our worship. We receive the body and the blood. We all share in one loaf because we are one man united in Christ. The eighth promise, the eighth gospel promise that we will cling to in 2018 of something new, we must obey a new commandment. Again, these things are not new, they're ancient, but when we hear them with gospel-tuned ears, they might become new, fresh, alive in us. In our new selves, our new creation life, we are equipped to live out the new commandment. What is the new commandment? John chapter 13, Jesus says it this way, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This is what unites us. The work of Christ has united us, and in that united participation in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, we are free to love one another, to serve one another, not out of duty, not out of pure obligation, not begrudgingly, but out of joy, out of delight, knowing that every investment, every act of service, every little note that is written, every handshake or heartfelt hug, every gift, every service to our children. By the way, thank God for our children. Our children and our children's workers. Next week, we're going to start up our Sunday school classes again. Sunday school is from 9 to 9:45. We still need more Sunday school teachers. If you say, man, I want to find out, I want to be more loving, more involved, more serving in our church body, sign up for Sunday school. They teach Sunday school classes. There's Emma is right here. There's Emma. See Emma. She's right now, she's like, yes, we need Sunday school teachers. We do. We do. We need them. And I read something recently suggesting, it's so true, that teaching Sunday school or teaching or working with the children is a gift. Not to the children, it's a gift to you. Because what did Jesus do? What was his ministry? He worked with children. They said, bring those little children to me. It's a great gift. So I encourage you, see Emma and say, I'd like to be a part of teaching Sunday school. Any act of love that you do, you're fulfilling this great commandment, this new commandment that Jesus Christ has given to us. Two more new promises that we will cling to in 2018. And just to encourage you with these, we are destined for a new heavens and new earth. We're destined for this new heaven, this new earth. Even though we might fail to perfectly practice the new commandment or embody our new self, we can trust that we will never fail in our new home. There's a home that is being prepared for you. Jesus said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. The book of Revelation, we began in reading chapter 21, calls it the new heavens and the new earth. Peter describes it this way in 2 Peter chapter 3. Since all these things, that is what we presently see, are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn, but according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. New heaven, new earth in which righteousness dwells. Church, if you have faith in Christ, if you believe that Jesus died for your sins, that he rose for your sins, that he ascended into heaven, that he rules and reigns, and it says in 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy to be defeated, to be destroyed, will be death. Then you long for that day when death and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire, and the new heavens are consummated, and the new earth exists, and you and I, in redeemed selves, are in the presence of God, glorifying him, knowing him, worshiping him. The new heavens and the new earth is that promise. And it says, as Peter says, as we long for it, we purify ourselves. We put away the foolish things, the foolish desires, the deceitful desires, and we crave that which is right, which is holy, which is good. This is the work that God's doing inside of your life. In 2018, going forward, you're saying, man, I want to be more like Christ. I want to be more loving. I want to be more obedient. I want to be more patient. How can I have those things? How can that reality be birthed in my life? Fix your eyes on the promise of a new heaven and a new earth. Fix your eyes on the promise of being with God forevermore. And what will you do when you see Jesus face to face? What will you do in the presence of God the Father, filled with the Holy Spirit? The last gospel promise for 2018, I encourage you with, we will sing a new song. Sing a new song. We will forever sing new songs of praise and thanksgiving in our new eternal home. Sing a new song. Sing a new song. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. They sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Church, this gospel promise is for you. You will eternally sing the new song of praises to Jesus Christ because of his covenant, because of his love, because of the work that he has accomplished. Let's grab onto those promises in 2018. Let's go forward in the name of Jesus and see the work that he accomplishes in our lives. Well, just like we're going to sing new songs, let's conclude our service this morning by singing that fairly new song. New lyrics. They're not really new. They're straight out of the Bible. They're thousands of years old. The tune is 100 and something years old. But this song still feels new to us. So let's have our worship team come back up as we sing again. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished. And we grab onto and cling to those new gospel promises. At the end of service this morning, we'll have our prayer team up here. If you want to know Jesus, If you don't know Jesus, you say, I want to believe in the gospel promises that you're describing, come up here and pray with our prayer team. They'd love to tell you more about who Jesus is and what it is to have faith in him. And if you say, hey, I want to get baptized today, we still have water up there. All right? Still good. We'll do it right after the service. So grateful for what God's doing. Would you stand with me as I say a prayer and then we end 2018 with this time of worship together? Oh Lord, I thank you for your awesome power, your awesome love, your amazing, miraculous work on display in our lives. Lord, continue that work. Stir up hearts. Lord, lead people to faith in you. Give us boldness to proclaim mercifully the gospel, the love of Jesus. And Lord, in all that we say, all that we do, all that we pray, Lord, would you be glorified. All glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.